experience.
Batman experience.
Batman experience. Batman experience. Experience.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Experience, presented by DraftKings. Doubling up with the crew this week on football. We are talking about the coaching vacancies in the NFL. We are recording this on a Tuesday evening, so if something happens on a Wednesday, please, for the love of God, I don't care. Do you even know what happens on a Wednesday? Or especially if you watch it on like Saturday and the show is released on Thursday, like, you know, on Friday, people got tired. I don't give a fuck, pal. I don't want to hear about it. We're doing the show. It's going to be fun, all right? You're going to have fun by doing it, and you're going to smash the like button. I appreciate that very much. Subscribe to Mayo Media Network if you're listening to the audio version. Rate, review, and subscribe. And in the comment section, please tell me who would be the funniest hire to be the Jets' new head coach. The one that would make for the most entertainment. You know what? Funniest Jets head coach, funniest Chargers head coach, which would lead to more fun content on the show. Jeff Feinberg is in studio with me. Who would be the worst hire in your mind that would make you feel the worst? They hired Anthony Lynn back?
Jason Garrett. Yeah.
All right. The coin is not going to be contributing to this show. Paul is behind the camera. We have a studio audience and on the line praying Marvin Lewis gets hired as the head coach of the Jets. It is Tim Undergust.
Tim Undergust.
That's not my name, but I now have become pretty convinced it looks like Robert Sella is going to be our head coach, and I'm pretty good with that.
It's going to be Doug Peterson, isn't it?
That's a rumor.
Doug the I think Pug it could, Peterson.
I would not be shocked if that happened either, not at all, because of the connections between him and Douglas, but were I Doug Peterson, I'm getting paid. I'm taking take the year off.
I don't think that's normally how these guys work.
Some guys, like if you have a young family or a family and you've just gone through a grueling series of years coaching and you're getting paid the big bucks, you'll be just in demand next year. Is this take the year?
It doesn't always work.
It's a crazy year.
If you are in demand now, we've seen this far too many. It's like the guys that are in super demand in college then don't come out. Like, very rarely does that work out for them.
Yeah, for the most part, you got to strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah, but Peterson's got a Super Bowl ring. He can always flash.
So. Yes, I will say there are some coaches in this hiring cycle that could probably say no to a job if they didn't like it, because I think they'll be back around for the next couple.
Well,
I agree.
What I want to do before we speculate on who's going where and what might happen is to rank these jobs as the first thing that I want to do. So we have the Eagles, the Texans, the Falcons, the Jets, the Chargers, the Jags, and the Lions. We have 8 coaching vacancies.
Seven.
Philly's now on that list because they fired Peterson. Seven.
What's the criteria for ranking? Seven.
What is the most attractive job out of all of these?
I think there's a clear first and second. There's a tier after three teams, in my opinion. And you could probably tier up the three teams that I determine. But yeah.
So let's try to come out this in order, because I think the power rankings of the first pick here of what is the most enviable job, I think that's somewhat up to debate. I would narrow it down to the Jags, the Jets, and the Chargers, I think on paper, are probably the most attractive jobs out there. No one wants to coach the Jets because they're cursed, so they're third. I would think it comes down to, if you believe in Herbert and you believe in this defense, do you believe in Herbert more than you believe in Lawrence, I guess is the question of what you want to do with this Jags job. Because I don't think that the Jags are as bad as the 1-15 team that they were. Like, they put a lot of people on injured reserve early. Like, they did the tank the right way. And it's kind of free reign to do anything you want there. Yeah.
Multiple picks, the cap room. I will say to people that debate the Charger and Jags job and lean to the Jaguars cap room as like a decider, the Chargers have enough cap room to do whatever they kind of want this offseason. They do still control their own destiny from a cap perspective.
So do a lot of teams.
Yeah,
though.
And I will go
as far.
The
Jets have even more cap.
And I will go as far to say, so you're the Jaguars and you have money. What would you like to spend it on? An elite wide receiver and a premium edge rusher?
No.
I mean, those are things the Chargers have.
The Jags spend their money on O-line.
That's something the Chargers need to spend their remaining money on. But I do agree, the three you have earmarked, to me, there's a definitive gap between those three and the others, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I would have the Texans in there too because they have the quarterback.
No, that's the whole thing.
They've created a fucking shit show now, and I assume this would be a big part of our show today. But they have now put their organization in such peril. They are now at a point where Tim could see this as a positive, but I believe someone like I saw, like Joe Brady, having a great opportunity to get that job, he's pretty much going to tell him to fuck off. He's going to be back in a cycle next year or could get other offers this cycle. He's a 31-year-old coordinator that had three receivers over 1,000 yards, and he didn't even have McCaffrey play. People love him. The new GM of what appears to be Atlanta is from New Orleans, who has a tie to Joe Brady. So I think there are jobs waiting for Joe Brady. And Houston's in such a shit place that they've now got to, like, get a stabilizer like a Jim Caldwell, because none of these guys who can call their shot want to go there. And Deshaun Watson appears to listen, it could be entire offseason clickbait. And I do.
He's not opposed to being moved, put it that way.
I do believe it just takes one phone call with a new coach that he might like, and everyone's on the same page in April. But he is like getting tugged from outside voices to take this like NBA player empowerment and not just like demand or trade, but literally like call, like, no, you do not just have to trade me. You can only trade me to like two places.
It's a bit different in the NFL. Because the contracts obviously aren't guaranteed. What's he going to sit out?
And you can't even give back the fines in the new CBA. If you're holding out, you better make that clear. And you better know what you're doing, because it's illegal now to return
hold out money?
Yeah. Like, you've held out for a month, but we're going to scrap the fines. Just come back. We have the contract.
You can't do that now.
That is now illegal under the CBA.
I can't believe the players agreed to that.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know who that benefits, but quickly, you're right. It's definitely bad for players. It kills their leverage to some degree.
Yes or no question, is Deshaun Watson on the Texans?
Yes.
To begin next
season?
Yes. Yes, I would say yes.
I think I'm in a clickbait cycle. Everyone's doing shows. We're doing shows. NFL offseason loves having a topic like this. The NFL Network, like, producers are probably salivating that they get like 2 months out of this topic. That's going to be everything's like fine and normal come March and April. But because I can't fathom that they could let it get to this point. But there's this, again, this like player empowerment that you're like seeing Deshaun might test those boundaries.
He's going to try. And if the NFL owners are smart and NFL management is smart,
no one trades for him.
From their perspective, they would want to squash this right away.
So they literally blackball like Stephen Ross from acquiring him in Miami, saying for the best, like, what do you call that? Tampering or not? Collusion. Yeah. Collusion.
I mean, it's only collusion if you prove it.
I could see that being very real, like a wink, wink collusion here. No, we are not letting player empowerment become a goddamn thing in this league.
But I think it's a bit different too. Like, you can have the player empowerment, but it will never be like you see in the NBA, because two guys don't make a team in football. Like,
you're right.
You just saw Deshaun.
But a quarterback does have.
I mean, we just saw Deshaun Watson have he's on the team that had the third pick overall, the fourth pick overall. Like, yeah, you need a good quarterback, obviously.
Yeah.
But that's not good enough. That's part one.
You try a coach. Is a landing spot. If Watson's staying, you don't have to find the quarterback. And that can be attractive.
But it's a poison pill cap and no draft capital.
That's the thing.
So that's why.
There's no draft picks to go along with it. And Andre Johnson actually came out today and basically said, don't let the Texans ruin you like they did to me.
Yeah. And DeAndre, and not that it
Andre
matters.
Johnson went to that's rich of him to say. He went to several playoffs. You know, he had his opportunities.
That doesn't matter.
Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Watson got up by 24 points in the AFC divisional round and was the quarterback of a team that lost. So the idea that that team or J.J. Watt didn't have chances to win championships is just not based on the truth.
I agree.
It is based on perception. They can look at their own sins as to why they didn't win a championship last year, for example.
I agree. No, there's a perception that this organization has been like in some bad place for a long period of time. No, it's quite simply the second they let O'Brien be the GM was when this like high ceiling talent, like top-end talent roster that lacked depth but always was entertaining and fantasy relevant.
Well,
not that the fantasy relevant matters, just kind of like went nowhere. Because this is a team that made playoffs with like fucking loser quarterbacks for a long time.
They did the thing that the Rams are also currently doing, but they just got like bad people instead of the people that they had. Like they could have kept Hopkins and not got David Johnson in the second round pick that came along with it. Like when the Rams gave up the first round picks for Ramsey last year.
Tunsil, they did the same for a left tackle.
And who like Tunsil's fine, but they treat him what they gave up for Tunsil. Like Tim commented on the spread pick show from yesterday, but had the Jets clearly won the trade, getting the two first round picks with Adams. That could be true, and it could. Whether they hit on those picks or not, those picks themselves could attract a really good coach to come because you end up with a lot of draft capital to improve that team. That could be the more valuable part of it. But Jamal Adams is still a great player. Tunsil's like, okay.
Yeah, I don't
know. He's an above average and left now tackle. And he's not the best left tackle in football.
And now there's the third overall pick, which is pretty much going to be mocked to a all-world left tackle out of Oregon who's now going to play 5 years on a rookie contract.
Yeah.
Like, in the same position. It's this weird mess that Houston's in. I don't envy them. I think on the surface, Tim is like, thinks Houston's an attractive job like it's a video game.
It can be an attractive job.
Now, like, a new coach with options has also to go in
there.
They're
also in the AFC South,
and,
which
like,
is a terrible division.
And be put into that bad situation. I do think they're being unfairly maligned for a GM hire that I don't think is bad. And I guess no one's calling it bad. Deshaun's just mad that he wasn't included in it. I think getting this Nick Cesario from New England is a good GM hire. They tried to get him for like 2 years. So clearly the organization finally got their guy. But if have you ever seen, I mean, we've talked about before this Easter Bee, this former like Patriot pastor that now has like so much control there. But this, like, Cal McNair fella, it's like watching Tommy Boy operate. Like, he's just like a schlubby fat Texan whose dad owned the team, and now he's in charge. And,
That's like, it's like basically the plot of King Ralph.
So is that why you like the Texans so much here? Because you love King Ralph?
No.
I don't know. Well, I don't have this job that high at all.
Okay, so let's play in a world where Deshaun is not the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans for the first snap in 2021 opening night. Where is Deshaun Watson?
Well, it's like 80. It's like Miami versus the league if there's a betting line.
Here's the move that is not. Well, the betting line right now is Tua on the Dolphins next year minus 400. Yes, plus 250. No. So that is the most attractive basically rumor out there that you trade Watson for Tua, their pick back, a second round pick and a first round pick.
But why does Houston have to? Tua can go in a separate trade. If you're trading Watson, you're not responsible for taking Tua at all. Or
no, but you would probably try to gamble that Tua was good, that he was hurt this year, and if you get him for basically free in this deal, why
you might
you
want the
him?
Quarterback third overall. So you might you don't get him for free. I don't think you get him for free. Miami's got to trade Tua in a separate deal. I don't think you can make Houston take Tua.
I would think that Houston would want Tua. And then you can use your third, because you need
to use that third round pick on Devonta Smith or something.
Well, they need to, like, Watt is basically cooked at this point, right? So you need to rebuild.
And he wants out. He desperately wants out.
Well, fine. Then let him out and save yourself some cap room. But they need to almost go. They basically pulled the Bengals for the last decade. The Bengals under Marvin Lewis, so a team was good enough to make the playoffs every single year, put up a fight. I mean, they advanced one round farther once than the Bengals did, but they were the early game on Saturday losing team. And the one time that they did they win the two playoff games?
They beat the Bills last year, then lost to the Chiefs.
Did they beat the Connor Cook Raiders team?
I think
yes,
so.
Yes, they did. Yeah. And they beat the Bengals more than once.
Yeah, they've won playoff games. JJ's had some pick six at the line of scrimmage,
sure.
I remember.
And they've never advanced past. So they're the upgraded version of what the Bengals were the decade before. And what do the Bengals have to do to try to get better? They had to completely bottom out, get rid of everyone, try to rebuild the O-line, try to build the D-line, bring in a new coach, and then wait for your moment to get the quarterback on the rookie deal. I don't think going out and getting the quarterback right now for them is really gonna, you're gonna waste 2 years of this rookie contract trying to make your team better around them. Like, you're probably better off waiting. If you're gonna be bad anyway, at least try to get some good, solid pieces on your either in your secondary, D-line, O-line, then bring in the quarterback, because then you get the extra year out of them.
You're going to interview for this job. You better have answers to solutions that they don't have answers for. Like, they're almost just outsourcing ideas.
Putting out Twitter polls?
Nope, I mean it.
Bill O'Brien was so
impressed. If you interview for this job,
I think it's not that hard of an interview.
Sort of like getting interviewed for Philly. It's like you've got to be you have to have answers coming to the interview. I mean, like, for the Chargers, you want an interview. For the Jags, for the, I mean, to a certain extent, like, show a scheme. Show us what you're going to do. Maybe we'll put you in some situations.
What do you think happens in a job interview, Jeff? Do you think there are certain job interviews where you don't show up with answers to questions? Where you don't just sort of, like, you just opine at random about things?
No, no. Obviously, Tim, my point is you've got to have, like, their solutions for them to big questions. Like, what will you do here? Okay, you want to be the coach of the Eagles. What would you do? Would you trade Wentz? Would you trade?
I don't think that the head coach of the Eagles gets to make that decision. I think that's why Peterson was fired.
But you're being interviewed for the job, they're gonna be. So what would you do?
Well, I think they so tell what you. So what would you?
How would you
job,
fix Wentz? What would you do to get Carson
saying,
right?
We're keeping Hurts. What do you do with Jalen Hurts? It's not what would you do with Wentz, what would you do with Hurts. It's like, here's who our quarterback is.
I'm saying you've got to answer a lot more in those kinds of interviews than I think you do.
With the Lions job, which has got to be the worst of the bunch.
I disagree entirely.
It's funny that we talked about these teams as kind of comparables all year long, but Atlanta and Detroit, like, what's a worse job?
Atlanta.
I think Atlanta might be the worst job.
No, I don't agree. If you look at that division, you see the Saints and the Buccaneers. That are old teams that are close to cresting.
Yeah, but you're also an old team that's locked into a lot of big contracts. At least Detroit feels like they can get out.
Detroit can get out
from everything.
I would rather be in Atlanta than I would be in Detroit. That's for sure.
I would rather be in Detroit. I think that's a better. I think you can get fresh quicker in Detroit.
Well,
without pressures maybe to appease and I think Detroit's probably in a much better cap situation. I like Detroit,
and it's just Ryan versus Stafford. Not that Ryan is significantly older than Stafford, but I'd rather have Stafford at this point.
Yeah, I would rather be the team that takes the second win with Stafford. But going back to something you were asking before, do you think it's plausible that like a team like a 49ers or like a Pittsburgh would like just jump Miami, say, for like a Watson, if that actually was a thing? Like,
I think if Watson's available, there's a coaching move that I think I pointed out to you that could potentially happen. If Joe Brady wants to go to Houston, look what he just did with Teddy Bridgewater, that Houston trades Watson for Bridgewater and like 3 years worth of first round picks. Then Brady goes with Bridgewater to Houston. And then Watson goes to Carolina, which I think is a really nice fit for Deshaun Watson. Chicago and Denver have to be in this mix. The Jets, the Jets are in a really good situation if they want to go get
absolutely.
Watson. They absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I was actually lamenting on Twitter that I was surprised people weren't putting the Jets on the short list.
And they have all that cap room.
They have the cap room and the draft. Simply the draft capital and quarterback need alone. To me, puts the Jets on the short list. Yes,
but if Watson doesn't want to go there,
yes,
it doesn't matter.
Yes, I understand there's all this, like, why would Watson want to go to one shit situation to the next? If he really wants out of Houston, I'm telling you, New York, all it takes is the Jets hiring a coach that Watson wanted Houston to interview.
He'd be the biggest star in the NFL in 2 years.
I'm just saying.
Because he's in New York and he's that good.
If Watson, if the Jets hire a coach that Watson likes, that's one phone call from Watson being like, no, I would go there. I see a plan. So people like dismissing New York in this, I find, is strange. But I don't know. I feel like we're just burning hot air. I don't see him moving. Time will just heal this. I think. But I get nervous for Houston and their fans when, like, the Andre Johnsons are, like, pouring gasoline, like, giving Watson some courage, and he's getting like encouragement from like a LeBron James, like, do it, man. That's when like he might effing do it.
But Bill O'Brien just left this organization, such a shitty situation. Like, I would want to get out too.
I don't disagree.
I'm wasting the prime of my career right now by being on this team that really, it's not that they have no chance of being good because he could carry them there. They can make a draft pick or two in the later rounds. All of a sudden they're fine. And they're like a 10-6 team once again because maybe the Titans fall off a little bit. The Colts still, they wouldn't trade him to the Colts, but that would be a great spot for him.
I don't know how this plays out. I also look at Miami and I'm like, you got to just give it all.
I would give it all.
Contend for a goddamn decade. And guess how this league works? The draft picks are incredibly valuable, and I love them like a firstborn. But there's this crazy thing that happens. The league just gives you seven more next year. And the year after that, it's like this replenished stock that the league just gives them back to you.
Unless you're the Patriots, sometimes they take those away.
Yes, but you know what I mean. So if this is real, Miami would be pulling malpractice if they're saying, no, we don't feel like contending for a decade.
Eagles fan back there, is that a good job or a bad job?
I think it's actually one of the worst jobs that's available. It's a very old team.
It's a tough job.
It's an easy division, though. And it's a team that won the Super Bowl 3 years ago. I guess, do you believe in Hurts or if Wentz can be fixed?
What?
Well, I do think Peterson was fired because they want to keep Wentz. So you better believe in Wentz.
Oh, God.
It's quite incredible. As a coach of a team that never wins anything, that's never won anything, I mean, to the guys won a Super Bowl and made all those playoff appearances, you'd have a lifetime contract if, like, the Spanoses owned the Eagles. Now, we're not successful, so we don't. And I'm not even saying I want the Chargers to run and hire Doug Peterson, but what an amazing turn of events. And I'm so convinced they actually
know. If he were in the same state, if he was the Steelers coach for a Super Bowl, they would keep
forever. I'm so convinced they literally know who they're going to hire, and I'm scared shitless because
Greg Schiano.
This is a team, to me, 2 days ago, I thought it was Chargers or Jets for Daboll. That's just how the interviews lined up. But now that the Eagles come into play, it's another Northeast team. I've loved this. Telesco and Daboll have the same agent. Well, apparently so does this Howie Roseman and Daboll have the same agent, which is crucial in these negotiations for coaches that are still in a postseason to get a vibe. So I'm scared the Eagles are here and they are going to steal my beautiful, fat, bald, bearded schemer.
If he's right, and this shows that they're committed to Wentz, if you can't get Watson and you're one of these teams, would you trade for Hurts? Because it would make no sense to hold on to Hurts.
I don't think Howie Roseman wants to trade. No, they drafted Hurts in the second round. I think they see Hurts as like a sidekick gimmick that can do a lot of things.
How is that worth a second round pick,
though? I don't know. But the GM that has all the control there is still there. I don't think Hurts is going anywhere. I think he's like part of a thing they want to do.
Could you get a first round pick for Hurts right now?
Yes, because he was drafted the very beginning of the second, and he showed more than Tua. Yeah, you definitely could. No offense. Don't come
for
my head.
Maybe they should bring back Chip Kelly. He had
a question. Did that Redskin playoff quarterback in one game show more tape than Tua 9?
I mean, yeah.
The answer to that question is undoubtedly yes.
Because he ran. That was always the weird thing with Tua this season was you never let him run.
Maybe it's not that like he, was part of
but it's not like he can't run. We've seen him run. And it's not like he's Lamar out there, but he's a mobile
He's not Lamar or Kyler, but he can.
Heinicke also throws the ball forwards, which is something Tua doesn't really do.
Wow. So who would you rather have, Heinicke or Tua, Tim?
Oh, Heinicke.
Tim.
Who do you think people would rather have, Tua or the Jordan Love unknown?
Probably. Well, I think if I'll we pulled Jordan it Love. Right now, I think that if we pulled it right now, people would say Love. But I'm not convinced about that.
I agree. I've been mean, but I think the Dolphins got to stick with Tua. They got to build for Tua. They got to give him a chance to make it all
okay,
right.
Okay, what happens when the Jets draft a running back, number two overall, and the Dolphins are sitting there?
They trade the pick.
They trade the pick, or do they take Fields? Do they take Wilson?
Oh, I have no idea. People get, I don't know. By all accounts, they have put the flag outside the property to say Tua's our guy, and we're not scouting quarterbacks.
But that's also a smokescreen at the same time.
Yeah, this it's is a smokescreen like, oh, you want this
exact
pick.
Exact same thing.
I agree. I'm just saying, they consciously raised an offseason flag to say, don't bug us about drafting quarterbacks. We have our quarterback.
I think optimal scenario here is, Tim, what coach do you think that you would want on the Jets the most?
He's now going to say the guy that's coming back for a second interview who's perceived to be the favorite. Well,
just say who you want, Tim. The number one guy you want for the Jets coach, because everyone's available.
My number one choice would be Daboll. My number two would be Salah.
Was Sally your second choice yesterday?
What happened to Jim Caldwell?
Be delighted with Jim Caldwell. Would be delighted with Marvin Lewis. There's all the names of the guys the Jets have been interviewing. I kind of like all of them. I like the process that's going on here.
So I'm giving Tim credit and agreement. Maybe it's just because I'm in it, Pat, and I'll own that it's because I'm in it. Outside of the name Jason Garrett, I am blown away with this hiring cycle. I am blown away with the quality of candidate that is available. Every single person the Chargers that have brought in outside of Garrett, I think, has a realistic big future in the league. So
yeah, but how often do you see coaching candidates getting floated around that aren't retreads that people aren't excited about?
You're right.
Like if you've only ever been a coordinator, the only reason that you're getting any considerations because you've had success at whatever
you're right. You're
I'm
right.
Not excited at all about Urban Meyer going to Jacksonville. I think that is not going to work.
Is that? Do you think that's? Well, hold on here. What I wanted to say is, I hope that Daboll or Salah end up going to the Jets. Tim gets what he wants, and then the Patriots trade for Tua, and Tua is awesome with New England. That would just make my year. Not that I like New England, but that would be fantastic.
And Jeff and I both really like Bieniemy too, but I think we both kind of think he's going to Atlanta. So
I think to me, Joe Brady or Bieniemy ends up in Atlanta. The connection is the assistant GM or a top personnel guy in New Orleans is the favorite for the Atlanta GM job. And before Brady was in LSU, he was a coordinator in New Orleans. So that's a big dot. Bieniemy, if you've asked me my list, my top two are Daboll and Bieniemy. My top four would be all offense. I have made a decision.
You don't want, but Salah would be also a great influence on that team.
Yes. There are two defensive candidates that I would like, but I have made a decision in my head that it is in the best interest of the football team to go offense. Even if they want to draft more receivers, let's do it. Let's be LA cool. Now you could say that's a bad priority, but I think it is for this team and the situation we find ourselves in, hyper important. And I've just got to bank on my high ceiling defenders like a Bosa, like a Derwin, forcing a field goal, making a big play a couple times a game to save us. If you put it this way, let's say we hire a defensive coordinator and we flourish and we go on to flourish as a team. Our offensive coordinator is going to lose his job as a head coach. If you hire an offensive guy and your defense flourishes, it's exponentially less likely you'll lose your defensive coordinator as a head coach.
Yeah.
That's just how this league is trending. Right? Isn't that how it works?
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? I know that I have many goals that I have unachieved, so I might need to access BetterHelp to assess my needs and match me with my own licensed professional therapist. You can do the exact same yourself. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get a timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. First one up right now about Rachel Ford. Rachel is a very caring, non-judgmental counselor that I felt comfortable with from the very beginning of my sessions. She responds in a timely manner and will guide you towards healthier outlooks and perspectives on whatever situations that may be challenging you at the moment. Visit BetterHelp.com/Mayo. That's Better H-E-L-P, and join over the 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Special offer to Pat Mayo Experience listeners, get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Mayo.
I think you're looking at a situation here where the best spot for Salah is Detroit.
He was the minus 200 favorite there when this process began.
You get the sense he doesn't want to go there.
It felt like he was
I mean, you're only saying that because he's had the second interview with the Jets.
I read a report today that said Salah either wants the Jets or doesn't want a job.
Who is the... Really? Where'd you read that at, Tim?
I want to...
Hold on.
It's on Twitter today. In fact, I think I sent it to our group chat.
Did you hear what he just said?
Saw it on Twitter?
Yeah.
Did you hear the statement that he said? Jets, Mike Garoppolo, or he doesn't want a head coaching job, according to Tim, apparently.
Mike Garoppolo tweeted, Salah was initially thought to be a lock for the Lions. I believe it might be Jets or bust for him.
So what you're saying is that some guy on Twitter lives his truth like you, and he's just saying, I think this is what's going on.
I have
a strong feeling that Salah will not get out of the building the next time he comes to visit.
Well, he's flying in, I think, for visit two, and that would be pretty premature, Tim, because that would be your own... Robert Salah to the Jets for round two interview is the first, to my understanding, of all seven teams. Obviously, the Eagles are fresh.
Meyer met with Khan.
Second round.
Khan!
Well, you know what? Meyer and Khan have probably done two or three rounds,
to be fair.
But of all these other teams that seem to be having more of a real process... Salah is the first round two interview I've seen documented anywhere, excluding, yes, probably the five Con Meyer conversations. I don't think the Jets conduct one round two interview and make their hire. I think there's been an incredibly slow burn here in this process that probably continues a little bit, but someone's going to make a move first, and maybe it is the Jets.
Well, do you think that Khan promised Urban Meyer not only the job control over the pick, but also like the AEW World Championship?
I don't want Meyer. To me, just feels like it's a paycheck chase. I want someone hungry.
You know what?
I want someone hungry.
He is notorious for being hungry.
I like it though. I don't know whether or not he's going to be a good head coach in the NFL or not.
They need it. They need to be an off-season story. They get on primetime. It's Urban and Lawrence.
I think for Urban Meyer, like, this is the shot that you take. Like, go do this.
In North Florida.
Show you can do this.
In North Florida, where you'll just have, like, local support instantly.
I think it works out better than Saban in the NFL.
I agree. Yeah, well, Saban doesn't get a turn Drew Brees down. He gets his Drew Brees when he walks into Jacksonville. With this Trevor.
I do think that, like, a lot of people, oh man, if Urban Meyer goes to Jacksonville, they're taking Fields number one. I don't think that happens. Taking Trevor Lawrence.
The thing is,
Meyer is the type of guy who would do that because he's the type of guy who thinks he's smarter than the NFL perhaps and will not listen to conventional wisdom and make the pick. So I get why people are saying such a thing, but I would still expect him to make the pick of Trevor Lawrence, but I don't know. I have low expectations of Meyer. I don't think that his coaching approach and style will thrive in the NFL. We'll see though.
If the Chargers go defense, I'm telling you right now, from my understanding, if they go offense, it's Dable, Bieniemy. I do think Arthur Smith is in play. And there's a quality to Arthur Smith that I love.
Feel like he kind of lost some steam here after losing to the Ravens.
Maybe. But there's a quality to Arthur Smith that I love.
His name is Arthur?
No.
Just use that gif?
This could be like a weird place to come from. But to... I don't know. I'm trying to think how to phrase this properly. For whatever reason, I put a paramount amount of respect on a silver spoon kid that, like, literally put his boots in the mud in a coaching perspective and did the ranks for a guy who wouldn't have had to work a day in his life.
I think you can swing that one of two ways. You can swing that, yeah, it's nice that he went and did that because he never had to work a day in his life, but he also had the in to go do that, and he didn't have anything he really had to do in the rest of his life, so he could go do that.
I guess, but you could say, like, Sean McVay had an in to go do that too because he had a grandpa who got him, like, a low-level job.
Or the fact that NBC just hired Chris Collinsworth's son to do Sunday Night Football for no reason.
What?
He doesn't have to work. The son of a Chris Collinsworth's son does all the pregame for Sunday Night Football and has all season.
What pregame? I don't even watch
Sunday Night Football.
Isn't that the one like Tony Dungy's on?
Literally, yeah, it's not like
like the guy who goes to the stadium and anyway, you guys are not following this closely enough at all.
I don't watch pregame Collinsworth. Shows. So,
well, anyway, Jack Collinsworth is like working Sunday Night Football.
Is he on air?
I think he's good though.
Oh yeah,
like Ian Eagle's son. Like, good. I think he is good.
He looks and sounds just like Chris Collinsworth.
He's blonde, right? He's like a scrawny little blonde, right?
He is scrawny. I don't know the hair color.
Just
but like
Eagles kid who was doing. I've heard like, him before.
He didn't have to work a day in his life either. But he's grinding on TV. Like, I actually kind of respect that.
No, I mean, I think
Collinsworth money is not your dad invented FedEx money, man.
No, being that's like, correct.
Being an 80s Bengal does not mean your dad get you FedEx silver spoon.
Well, he's also making tons of money off of NBC.
Well, like, no, he makes a lot of money PFF, about being the owner of PFF. Pro Football Focus.
And the owner of PFF, yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, no, I respect Collinsworth's kid. I actually, now that you've connected dots for me, I actually think he's good.
I agree. I think he is good.
Well, I went to school with, and this is only a Canadian reference, Sean McKenzie, who's on Sportsnet right now. His dad, Bob McKenzie, probably the biggest TV.
Was Schefter for hockey. He's Schefter for forever.
Hockey in Canada. And Sean is awesome on air.
Yeah.
And same thing. Like, he used to grind at TSN when he was a teenager. So being in the building early is a huge advantage to a lot of these people. Because they get to build up these reps when people not in their circumstance would never get to build up these reps. So they should be good at it. And a lot of them are good at it because of it, because they've been around it so often. So maybe you're right about that. Like being around the team, getting in early, much like a McVay in that sense, that they were just around it so often that they're going to be good at it. Like Steph Curry at shooting threes.
Well, look, I don't know. Bill Belichick's kid runs the defense. And he'll probably be there after Belichick. He'll probably be on McDaniel's staff.
Are we sure that McDaniel's going to get that job?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying. I
also, whatever.
You know who's like an assistant on the Chargers? Like Rex Ryan's kid. Because like Lynn was on Rex Ryan's staff. So like it's all fucking thing.
Is Bob McKenzie bigger than Bob McCown in Canadian like sports?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Really? I thought McCown was like, okay, fair enough.
Bob McCown replied to a tweet I sent last week. It was actually pretty funny.
I actually like Bob McCown.
Yeah, I got no beef.
I do
Bob
too.
Bob doesn't.
On,
Bob
on the air for like
Bob
40
is
years,
great.
Right?
Listen, Bob isn't a phony either. He acknowledges, I go to bed. I don't watch these stupid games, but I'm going to bring on guys that did, and I'm going to ask good questions.
Does he take super long commercial breaks so he can go hack darts outside?
Yeah, he probably had to take an L. Yeah. Or just like, I remember back in the day, we had like a no smoking rule at the Score, but like Morenci needed to smoke, and he like the breaks were only so long. So like he's allowed on the balcony.
No, I like my Bob McKenzie is probably... Yeah, he's Adam Schefter to the NHL. And being, I mean, think about how big, like, as NFL contemporaries on television for football, Schefter might be the most recognizable name.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Like, I doubt he gets paid the most, but when you look at it, like, who do you know the most? Like, I guess Aikman is up there because he's like Aikman, Romo, like the commentators, but like everyone knows Schefter. And you go actively search out the information. Like, you have, like, even between, like, Rappaport and Jay Glazer, and I guess Lackenford doesn't do it anymore. Like,
he seemed to have lost his touch at, like, breaking.
Yeah, well, I don't
put
think
it this way. At the Super Bowl, you had a chance to interview Rappaport. You would not have gotten a chance to interview Adam Schefter.
I did interview Ian Rappaport. He was on the Pat Mayo Experience. Fun time.
And that's not to say he wasn't a big deal, but I was just like, Schefter was not an option for you.
I did. Well, I mean, I think Ian Rappaport wanted to do the rounds. I think Rank hooked me up with that too. So shout out Adam Rank, the NFL Network guys, helping me out in that regard. But as it pertains to Canadian hockey, like, think about, and obviously,
Gino Retta, he isn't as big.
No, what are you?
He's got a show. He's got a show every night, and he's been around forever.
Oh my God!
Screw Gino. Jim Van Orn was around forever.
There's no one that touches McKenzie. If anything, it'd be Duthie. Like a host, like Duthie.
Yeah, Duthie would probably be the second biggest. But even, that is like Jay and Dan.
I'm trying to think, like, even not that you would matter. I'm trying to think, like, who is the other like a Pierre LeBrun? Like, who are the other guys?
I mean,
like in hockey, it's like Schefter and Rapp and Glazer.
Before
and
he retired, Landsberg
like
was just
Woj
as big
and Mark Spears and Shams.
Yeah.
And in baseball, it's like Rosenthal, Morosi, and like Heyman.
Buster only.
Jeff Passan. Yeah, Buster only. Although, is he more of a columnist or a news guy?
Passan can break a story.
But in hockey, it's like Bob McKenzie and Elliot Freeman.
And like Drager.
And kind of. That, I mean, I don't know enough about it, but like those, you say Elliot Freeman, you say Bob McKenzie, I know what
there's
you're talking
there's
about.
There's some real pieces of shit there.
Where?
But like the hockey guys, I imagine like at ESPN in Bristol.
You're basically just Homer, just throwing the match on the bamboo bridge on the way out.
No, I imagine like.
I can't imagine what you're going to say about me once we break
up. No. I imagine like the hockey guys at TSN. Well, I know how they carry themselves, but I imagine the football guys in Bristol, like. It's the same, like, sort of like this, like, you guys, like, there's man. Other sports here, but like.
Sorry, guy. Sorry, Chris you? Schultz, yeah. Who does CFL.
Yeah, whatever. Cam would tell me these stories, like, Drager or Millard would have, like, a red light at their desk, and you couldn't talk to them if their, like, red light was on. Like, just such pompous losers.
I like it. I'm going to do I that for here. I'm going to have a little light, and you can't talk to me when it's on. I feel like you shut the door to your office, you're probably good to go.
Yeah,
not that
probably.
I have an office, rather than an open concept in a little mini room here.
I don't know how we got here, but...
Arthur Smith. Silver Spoon, Arthur Smith, good guy.
I think that's a good quality.
I agree with you.
I don't know if he tops Dable or Bieniemy on my list. My one concern for Bieniemy...
Well, you know who's floating around right now? Maybe the next Jets head coach if they don't get Salah. Tim, have you heard this?
No.
I got two words for you, Tim. Todd Bowles.
Eagles yeah, interviews.
I don't think he's coming back.
But he's getting, like, now that the Bucs have moved on, he's getting
well,
a lot of buzz.
He may have, he very well may have. What happened in New York wasn't particularly Bowles' fault. Bowles just
whose fault
made
was
a lot of mistakes that he didn't let that would have been learned in time, but like the Jets are just ready to move on with a new team. I don't know. I'm like Bowles totally deserves a second crack at it. I never despised Todd Bowles. I just didn't think he was the man for that job, but being the DC in Tampa for a couple of years and having some real success with that team in the right spot, I think he would be a steady and reasonable presence in a team for a team that needs that.
Paul?
If the Jets signed blank as the head coach, as their new head coach, who would it be that would upset you the most?
Good question.
The Jets That's trade the question. Second overall pick to Arizona for Cliff Kingsbury. And the retroactive rights to Josh Rosen.
No one that we've interviewed so far.
Yeah, because
like,
Tim
really
is like me.
No,
like, he's kind of glossing over the process, being like, I won't be mad. I love everyone we've interviewed. Like, I'll acknowledge outside of Garrett, like, I kind of have the same feeling.
There are no bad hires. They're all twigs.
I mean, yeah, of course the guy that hired McCoy and Lynn will make a good hire this time. Why wouldn't he? Like
yeah, I haven't seen a name floating around yet that would have like would really that has really bothered me.
But he also likes Marvin Lewis. Well, most Jets fans would be triggered.
I would not be hyped for Doug Peterson.
What if they hired Tua as their head coach?
Well, yeah, just to take the pressure off.
Well, so what if they hired Tebow, former Jet?
Yeah,
this
I think he'll get into coaching.
They were talking about Aaron Glenn. He's, I guess, the guy of the group. I guess I'm the least hyped about.
What about
he Glenn
Hubbard?
Be a dark. Be,
hate that
I think
Glenn.
Glenn would be a dark horse candidate. I just don't know enough about whether. I mean, he used to play for the Jets.
If
it would
the
be an
Chargers go defense, I'm telling you, we'll be this Rams coordinator. This young kid, Brandon Staley, he is getting a lot of buzz, Pat, because apparently he is. A, friends with McVay, but B, was a college quarterback himself. So
he's a fom? Friend of McVay?
Yeah, friend of McVay, college quarterback himself. So he has apparently been very impressive with his offensive concepts in these interviews. Why are you laughing at me?
I'm thinking about the red light. I'm sorry.
Well, it's on right now. I can see the red light on my camera, so you can't talk to me right now, Tim. What about Greg Roman? I feel like it would have happened for him already if it was ever going
to
happen.
But even last year, I was surprised to see Martindale and Roman kind of be shut out. And you're right. There's like when the iron's hot, there's no like this whole like, oh, I might not like that job or coach. No, if someone's offering you a job, it seems like you got to strike while the iron's hot. Although I do believe this Joe Brady fellow can pick his job, as could Dable. But Maybe Allen becomes the accuracy guy Tim's projecting him to be next year.
And sucks.
And Dable loses all his shine. So, well, I don't know.
Well, this works out really interesting for me. I don't think that Dable's really at risk of this. Let's say Tim is correct and Lamar goes mental against Buffalo and just kills Buffalo. I think it puts Roman back, like it elevates his status up, like, holy shit. Like, but he got Baltimore over the hump. He figured out what he made the adjustments, and all of a sudden he's back to being a front runner for one of these jobs. And if Buffalo's offense sputters, it's like, I guess maybe in the big moment, like, Dable's offense wasn't so good. It's a great regular season offense. He can beat up on a lot of bad teams against good teams. Couldn't really do anything.
I don't know. Are we
like,
going
to, but the, so,
if there's
so,
a blizzard in Buffalo but on Saturday, so, we're going to hold that on Dable?
They might. There is so much. I wouldn't.
You're right. You're right.
A win and a loss in a playoff game can swing the perception on everything so quickly that it wouldn't be outside the realm of possibility that if the Bills get smoked in this game, Dable's the offensive coordinator for the Bills next year.
The reason, okay, so much is being made of the Josh Allen transformation in many ways and Dable being credited for that. And I believe if we get Dable, we don't just bring Dable. We throw another dagger at Buffalo and bring quarterback coach Ken Dorsey to be our offensive coordinator. I'm coming for all of y'all.
You know who should be the Jets coach? Freddie Kitchens.
Maybe. But what I want to say is Dable, beyond the Allen stuff, he is getting so much praise, and maybe it's just this niche stuff I'm pro-Dable media that I am reading. But people are smitten. The guy has a resume that is to be marveled. He has spent extended time under both Belichick and Saban, and he left. He left the legends to go run McDermott's offense. So people are claiming, okay, so we finally left like a legend tree to go sort of be fully in charge of McDermott's offense. And he hit a grand freaking slam. So I am head over heels. I am head over heels. Dable, Bieniemy. That is sort of my wish list, and I'm always disappointed. So I'll be wrong.
Well, Sean McDermott was the defensive coordinator at Carolina, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who are the best coaches in the league right now?
Flores, defensive coordinator.
McDermott, defensive McDermott,
coordinator. Belichick.
Andy Reid.
Belichick, Reid, both.
McVay.
Belichick, LaFleur. Defensive guy. Andy Reid, offensive guy.
LaFleur is too early to say.
Don't worry. I have the deep numbers. Do Reid not underestimate the ability or how many defensive-minded coaches have developed quarterbacks in this league.
Well,
it is a longer list than like people.
I mean, even Pete Carroll developed Russell Wilson.
He's on the list.
Here's the one thing about hiring a defensive guy to come in is that they hold no attachments to the offense, which sometimes is really nice, that they can sort of act like CEO of the team, and each coordinator can really imprint upon what they want to do on that side. And then you have someone who's a good decision maker, and good decision makers a lot of the time come from the defensive side of the ball. It's like sometimes you see really good defensive coordinators that were former quarterbacks because they understand defense a lot.
Okay, yes, and that is sort of why people are high on this Rams kid.
Well, you're high on him because you think that the Chargers might hire him.
Yes, and there's also another part here. Tell me what you would think of this. Not only do the Chargers hire Brandon Staley to be the head coach, but they retain Shane Steichen.
And then hire Joe Staley.
They retain Shane Steichen, a very young offensive mind who they do like, who was our coordinator last year, to be the offensive coordinator. He's retained. He's still under contract. We didn't send him home. And we keep Pep Hamilton around. So we essentially sort of keep the scheming and the quarterback coach, and we bring in this defensive mind guy. That's been floated. I don't know how
I don't think. Although,
I forgot to mention Ron Rivera. He's also an excellent coach and a defensive guy.
And he developed Cam Newton's best years were under Rivera. Yeah. So there is a long history, even Jim Schwartz in Detroit. Now I'm just thinking off the top of my head, but there's a long list of defensive coaches who have developed the good quarterbacks that we watch today. So it's kind of overblown. As much as I agree that I sort of want this offensive show schematic guy to just run my team, maybe I am being wrong.
And it's funny because you look at someone like Mike Zimmer, who, although a lot of the blame gets put at the feet of Kirk Cousins or even Case Keenum before that, I would argue that Cousins and Keenum have been really good while Mike Zimmer has been the head coach, and the defense has kind of sucked.
Yeah, particularly this year, the defense was terrible, and Zimmer needs to own that.
I'd say Sean Payton's one of the better coaches in the league. Yes. Offensive guy.
And McVay, too, right? McVay and Shanahan, for that matter.
Yeah, Shanahan, for sure.
And honestly,
this year with San Francisco, with all those injuries, was mightily impressive.
Up until that punt on Saturday, Vrabel. I like Vrabel. I mean, how could a guy who says
someone
he would
tweeted
cut off,
he's
how
willing
could
to,
a
yes,
guy
yes.
who could cut off his dick to win a Super Bowl, like, self-proclaimed punt there?
I do like that super testosterone head coach guy won't go for it on fourth and inches on the opponent's 30-yard line. What the fuck are you doing?
I know we're late on this, and I wanted to do it on the other show, but what punt was worse, the Vrabel or Tomlin punt?
Vrabel's punt was worse.
The Vrabel punt, because they're still in that game. It's a 3 or 4. But the Steelers have a lot of things that, for that punt to actually matter, there's a lot of things that had to happen after that punt.
Including going for it and getting the first down and scoring. They're both horrible punts.
Well, but, I mean, by the numbers, right? The Titans punt was the worst by a team in the last 30 years or something.
Yeah, well, the Titans one doesn't even make sense. Like,
And it's also counterintuitive to how Vrabel's run that offense literally since he's come in there.
The one biggest chasm that we find between analytics and actual coaching decision, I don't think that's an analytics decision. I think that's like a common sense decision when you go down to it. But the biggest chasm that we see, the biggest case that analytics don't really cover for is people who don't want to follow analytics or don't quite understand them or are very anti them, is they measure everything in a very micro sample. Well, it didn't work this one time. How could it be right? Well, it's telling you that 68% of the time this is possible. That means if you did it 100 times, it would work 68% of the time on theory. But then you have another thing too, where the analytics tell you the overall average and the overall percentage of what happens here in this. You pay these guys to be your coach to see things that the numbers don't see at the same time.
Correct.
A lot of the time, as we've seen with either challenges or decision-making, that they're kind of wrong about it. But when it comes down to actual football stuff, you'd have to think that there is a real reason behind some of these decisions. Like, I remember the three of us got into an argument a few years ago, and I think you guys would all be on my side for this time, but Carolina and Ron Rivera went for it for two to win the game, and Greg Olsen dropped the touchdown in the end zone. You guys were very anti that decision.
It was beginning.
At the time.
But the math was explained.
The math was explained
to me, and I turned.
But at the same time, when you looked at it,
it didn't make sense.
The math might be in your favor or against your favor, but Ron Rivera said, "We have a play that can work right now, and we're going to run it, and we're going to win this game." And the play worked.
I didn't like
Greg
the
Olsen
Colts going for it on fourth and goal from the 4 because it was now on the 4. If it was on the 1 yard line or the 2 yard line, that's one thing. But with so little time left, and you have to throw a pass, you have a quarterback who can't run. I actually thought if I were the Colts, I actually would have kicked the field goal at the end of the first half. If they, I mean, the worst play was the toss on third down to lose 2 yards. If it's fourth and goal from the 1, you just go for it. But from the 4, I thought that was a circumstance where Frank Reich should have kicked there.
I had the +7, so I really wanted him to kick, but I understand like this mindset. I'm playing.
I understood
Josh Allen
why
and
he
Bills,
went for it.
But I would have. I agree. I did not agree with that. And the sad thing is, to me, I don't even think that was Frank Reich's like top 2
Agreed.
Worst coaching.
But that was like an analytics decision. And there's nothing wrong with following the numbers. But
that really broke their back when they went offside on the field goal. Because they could have gotten out of that mistake just giving up 3 the other way instead of it being like a full like double digit swing.
What game was it where they got him to jump?
The Buffalo game.
That was the Buffalo-Indianapolis
game. Then they got a touchdown. And that was on the drive after
the Bears also jumped.
The conversion.
The Bears also jumped against the Saints.
I'm not going to lie to you. I fell asleep and took a nap during the Bears and Saints game.
So you weren't watching a Nick?
I actually quite enjoyed, like, from obviously we don't get Nickelodeon up here, so I didn't
watch it. Yeah, apparently people loved it.
Apparently it was great.
Yeah. Good for them.
Hopefully they do it again. People are like, no, let's do it. Thanksgiving, we do Christmas.
Do it for
games.
The Super Bowl.
Super Bowl is a really interesting one to do it for because if your kids are up, that would be a good broadcast to introduce them into it.
Yeah.
And really, what do you care?
No, I don't care.
Like, do you watch the Super Bowl with sound on?
I'm normally in a room with so many friends
you
that
never
it doesn't
hear.
Even matter.
That's the thing.
It's part of the reason, like, A, if the Chargers played in the Super Bowl, I'd like to think I'd give up my arm to have an aisle seat
so I
could pace. But I wouldn't want to be around people because I need to hear when my, like, third best, like, linebacker leaves the game. I need to hear when they're giving me an update on his status.
But you don't because you're on Twitter the entire time.
Who knows where... fantasizing about things that'll never happen.
Well, he'll be in the Chargers Reddit mega thread that night.
So let's do the rankings. I think we've talked through this. We've talked about each of the teams. Let's go from worst to first of these 7 teams. Do we agree that Is it Detroit, Houston, or Philly, or Atlanta? That's the worst.
To me, it's Philly. I like Wentz. I'm going to say Atlanta. To me, Atlanta is my worst.
I think it's Detroit, but then Philly would be second.
I'm really torn. I can't make heads or tails. I feel like Philly could go and win that division and be a contender next year if they get Wentz right.
That's why they're not last.
No. As long as Dak is healthy, I don't think Dallas will lose.
Yeah. What was Dallas with Dak? Like 1-4 anyway?
They went 7-9 without Dak for 4/5 of the season, and they missed the playoffs on a tiebreaker. Like, that team would have been 7-9, 10-6.
Right, and they had a lot of defense.
You say that they would be 7-9 or 8-8, but what did they finish? 5-11?
7-9.
If you tell me when
Dallas finished 7-9?
Yeah. 7. Yes.
What did Washington finish then?
7-9, but the Redskins beat them twice. That's why they got the playoff game and not Dallas.
Did Dallas beat the Giants in the last week?
Yes. No, the Giants beat.
Giants won. Giants no, were you're the right. upset team.
They were 6-10.
They were 6-10, yeah.
Okay, they were 6-10. You are correct. They would have been 7-9 had they beaten the Giants.
I thought they were
6-10. They would have been. They would no. They,
I'm with they, Pat. They to me, if Wentz is right, if Wentz returns to Wentz, I like Eagles' outlook over the Cowboys.
Or you know what? We say, hey, we're done with Wentz. We're gonna get rid of him. We're starting Hurts. I feel like they have enough solid pieces, especially on the deal. I worry about their O-line because they were so hurt this year.
They're not in a great cap situation either. No, but Atlanta's worse. But Atlanta's the worst job.
The Saints have been in a bad cap situation for literally 15 years, and I don't think it's made a difference yet.
The Rams, Jeff's been calling the Rams cap position the world's worst ever for like 3 years. They just keep signing people.
No, 3 years ago, they were like fine because they weren't in it yet. And yeah, now they're in it, and I'm amazed at their success, and I give them all the credit in the world, and their coach is a schematic genius, and they never blow a lead. So
he also knows all the players on the Packers.
He knows all the players.
Hey, you know what? You guys continue to mock that and bring that up, but when we start talking about these bad coaches, they don't even know all the players on their own team.
I told you I recite Lynn Pressers, where like he can't even recall plays from like 14 minutes ago. And McVay can recall a 3rd-and-3 from like 7 years ago where he was like an offensive water boy. So all the credit there. You're asking me my vote. Falcons last.
Falcons last. I'm going to go last.
But I'm going to make this list based on the Texans and Eagles
keeping
fixing
guys.
Their quarterbacks.
Well, it's funny because if you look at it, besides the Chargers, if you went into Atlanta and fixed their problems, I think they could be a contender next year. It's just I don't think they're a contender 3 years from now with the team.
They could have been a contender this year. They just had terrible luck.
Ever since that you cursed them in the Super Bowl, they've just had horrendous luck every year.
They've been losing games. They have no right to lose over and over and over again.
Well, it's just like the Chargers. I would say the Chargers Agreed. And Falcons are the most like game ready to be good next year.
Yeah,
for two completely different ways.
Yeah.
Jags or Jets? Better job. I say Jags.
I think so too, because you get all the power and you get any of the QBs you want.
And no pressure.
And there's zero pressure on you. So
you're not in New York. You're not back page. You're not, there's no burner account, Manish Maya 2.0 coming to like eat you up from the inside. I will, however, say in defense of Tim, and I think I've been sort of on this from the moment it looked as bleak as possible for the Jets. I think it's a good situation. They hire a coach I like, they hire Robert Saleh. It'll be hard to get to Tim's 11 wins like he'll project, but I will be very high. Very high on where this team is with the basic pieces that remain there and the cap room. They hire a coach I like. Hopefully it's not a coach I want. I will be high on their ability to really fix this thing. Not next year, but get it right. Absolutely.
Agreed.
Detroit and Houston are such wild cards for me.
Well, I think Houston is a cut above because Watson is that good. And I think he stays. Ipso facto, I like the Texans' job better.
I love Watson. Who are they drafting? No one, because they don't have any fucking draft picks. So it's the team they have that went, 4-12 this year?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you'll get some 3rd or 4th round picks, I guess.
I mean, they might even have to...
And get rid of
the roster will get actually worse before it can get better. So, shit, I hate to do this. Bump to you're going to put Philly ahead of Houston, though?
Yes. Like I said, Philly, you don't think Philly can win that division next year? Like 9-7, 10-6? Like they can.
Yeah, but Deshaun Watson still could still be the best player in his division, and every division matchup he's the best player in, and they're fine. Or like, I don't know, there's a path.
I guess there's a path, but the Jags are going to get Trevor Lawrence. They should be better than they were this year. The Colts are still a Jameis Winston away from like winning a playoff game, potentially.
Yeah.
And the Titans are going to be good next year. Like the Titans are actually a team that if they can figure out any semblance of defense could be really good.
Do you know they didn't have a defensive coordinator?
Really?
Vrabel chose to never name one throughout the year. And he...
What, did they put it to a Twitter poll of what play we should
do? No, I guess they just, like, their linebacker coach ran the walkthroughs and stuff.
Wouldn't that just make him the defensive coordinator?
Yes, but Vrabel never did it by label, and it just became this running, like, theme for the media all year as the defense struggled, and Vrabel admitted in his end-of-season presser that that was a real miscalculation.
So,
because he didn't think it would gain... like legs with the media, like, and just grow every week. But
it's got legs, baby.
But I'm everywhere. Jets best hire, Bill O'Brien, I think, would probably be my pick. Or who is the offensive coordinator in Cleveland? Is it Alex Van Pelt? Is he the OC or is he the QB
coach? I believe AVP is the OC there, yes.
So the Jets hire AVP as their new head coach after the Browns beat the Chiefs in the second round. Because you need to bring the guy who made Baker Mayfield a star into New York. Oh, that'd be great.
Well, you know, that the Browns and the Rams both won last week, and those are the Jets' two wins.
Oh, congratulations.
Shit, man.
You should take a victory lap, Tim.
I think they were one of the best 2-14 teams you've seen.
Is that crazier than me when I made my claim about how successful I thought the macro version
was? Here's
the
thing. You guys need to stop competing for who's crazier.
There's no competition.
You.
Well,
Jeff's obviously there is a competition. Crazier.
You're both fucking nuts is the answer.
I'm happy to be
but Jeff
nuts.
Is crazier.
I'm not crazy.
Yeah, he's an angry crazy person. You're a happy crazy person. Except for your craziness manifests itself in anger a lot of the time.
My craziness does sometimes come out as anger and passion.
Like I said, you're like clam chowder. You just feel the passion.
My wife had to learn that, like, no, he's not angry. He's just passionate.
Think about that saying. That's like when we
President
go out with Tim.
Crazy person.
We go out into public with Tim. It's like, no, he's just like that.
My volume is loud, but I'm just passionate. I'm not angry. Unless I'm angry, and you know when I'm angry.
Would we like you when you're angry? You got to think about that one, huh?
No, I don't know. No one should like when... No.
All right. Any final thoughts on the...
Yeah, you didn't rank who the best is.
It's the Jags. The Jags is the best job. Jags, Chargers, Jets. 1, 2, 3.
That is my ranking, too. Jags, Chargers, Jets.
Yeah, I kind of am relegated to...
You can just say the Chargers number one.
No, I don't. No, because I do believe that the Chargers don't play with the Jags don't play with Mahomes. Like, I do agree that the Jags, you evaluate Lawrence to be generational and that cap room. You could build that team as you in your own vision. That's number one.
Point to me. I've listened to the crack in your voice. You don't believe that for a second. Also, cap room in the NFL. Highly overrated.
No, if you
it means basically nothing.
Hold on, if you
believe, but the Jets have a lot of cap.
I know. And when was the last time the Jets didn't have a ton of cap room, Tim?
If you believe Lawrence is generational supreme, it's a better job because you can create that team in the vision in which you want.
Yeah, but just because Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent doesn't mean Herbert's not too, Jeff.
Herbert's good, and we got pieces, and we got pieces, and I want to go. Listen, I love Hunter Henry. You leave me this Florida tight end at 13, I swear to God, we'll leave the murders out of it, but watch this Gronk Hernandez shit I want to pull.
Oh, my God.
I see where you came around on that. Not what I thought you were talking about. I thought you were saying that the guy that you're going to draft is a murderer.
No, we'll leave that part out of it. But I'm telling you, I want to explode. I'm coming for you, 10-year-old Los Angeles boy. Cut that out. We're coming for the hearts and minds of the children of Los Angeles.
Did you write that time code?
Yeah, I got that time code down. That was just
we
a
can't air that on TV.
I think we leave that one in.
We're coming for the
hearts. I don't think we do.
Listen, the Rams got to lose. The Rams can't go back to another Super Bowl. I have got to take that 10-year-old boy. you're impressionable.
Yeah.
I just mean buying a jersey, not taking them anywhere. I did this to myself. Let's end it.
Okay, that will do it on the Pat Mayo experience. Coming in next is Chris Hansen to talk. Yeah, to, why don't you have a seat over here, Jeff? Why do you have that Mike's Hard Lemonade with you? There we go.
That came out so wrong.
I feel like that was the I mean, it's going to be hard to top that as, like, moment of the year on the show. We're the second week of January.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know why I did it. The order of the words was wrong.
I know. Yeah, it was. People will know what you meant, Jeff.
I hope so.
Me too.
Do not bleep it. You got to just leave the full context or it'll make it worse for me.
All right. If I can no longer have you on the show next week, it is your fault because of it.
Hold on.
You've already been fired from my show once out of my control.
But hold on.
Yeah, we're
doing great here at the end of this podcast.
Yeah, you're really giving us a lot of extra work to do.
Jesus Christ.
I will do it on the Pat Mayo experience. You don't even need to like this one if you don't want to, but you probably will anyway, and you'll probably time code that part, won't you?
The FBI will see if you like this one. That's the problem.
I think we're okay. I want to thank Jeff. I want to thank Paul. I want to thank the studio audience. I want to thank you good people out there and myself, but not Tim Andergust.
Tim Andergust.
That's not my name.
For being here, remember to smash the like, leave who you think the funniest Jets/Chargers coach would end up being for content for this show. Do not report Jeff into the authorities, please, people out there. Remember to go subscribe to the Fantasy Hockey Picks and Bet Show. Leave a 5-star review with your Twitter handle or email address to get into one of the many $100 American dollar draws. If you're Canadian, that's like $3 million or something like that. I don't know what the actual conversion is right now, but, you know, could be pretty good. Not going to lie to you. Anyway, thank you all for tuning in. I'll be back on Friday with Jake Seeley and the DraftKings picks for the divisional playoffs. I'll see you next time.
Family experience. Experience.